Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
New Zealand has another major champion.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Poro chance to cross, hooks it in. Williams battling, knocks it down. It's free. It's a goal. It's Ferran Torres.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello. How are we doing? Hello, good morning.
What is happening?
Nice little Monday morning, great weekend.
Yeah, well, you have a good weekend over there?
I did.
Had a good weekend?
I got caught up in maybe one of the dumbest finding out something about sports of my life.
Ooh. Like you did not know and then you learned this weekend?
No, it was more like, hey, this happened. Let's find out how many of these times this has happened like
Ooh,
this.
Now I'm intrigued.
And I'm still going through it. It was at the back end of my Sunday.
Okay.
I was wondering with an NBA trade that happened, if Zachary Risacher is the second worst number one overall pick in NBA history.
Ooh, yeah. Has there ever been one, because he's been in the league for 2 years?
Two.
2 years and traded away as the number one overall pick 2 years into his career.
Yep.
Has any number one pick been traded quicker than that?
Anthony Bennett has one registered season with the Cavs.
And that's it, and then they got rid of him after 1 year.
Went to Minnesota.
Yeah. Now, he was there prior, then there was a LeBron pick, right? He came back after the Bennett pick. And that was that part of that trade?
No.
Was that different? I think in different
windows.
Bennett
was the year after LeBron left.
Left. Okay, got it.
Because they had two or three straight years of
They did. I remember that. And one of them they traded in the moment to get LeBron back.
It was Wiggins.
The Wiggins trade.
Wiggins was the one trade.
And he never played a game in a Cavs uniform. That's a fun thought process because I saw that name thrown in there in the trade yesterday. It's like, damn, that's a I don't blame you. If you don't see it, 2 years in, might as well move on.
I mean, the Cardinals kind of did this with Rosen.
They did, 1 year in. They gave him 1 year as a starting quarterback and then gave up. He wasn't the number one overall pick, but he was a top 10, right? He was back in the top 10.
But he was sixth. Wasn't he like sixth or something?
I think he's in that top 10. I know he's in the top 10, but he was somebody that going into that draft, he was talked about as maybe the best quarterback.
Yeah, I certainly love Josh Rosen. He had a hot tub in his dorm room. What's there not to love?
Was that the Baker-Darnold draft?
I believe so, yes. Okay.
So he was in the Baker-Darnold sweepstakes draft, talked about as maybe the number one pick. We all thought he was pretty damn good. UCLA wasn't, like, utterly amazing, but he had the A&M comeback,
and he
had all these moments. He had weird personality.
He was 10th overall in that draft.
And
that
he fell 10th.
Baker went 1, Darnold went 3 to the Jets, and then you had Josh Allen, 7 to the
Josh
Bills,
Allen
Josh
draft.
Allen draft, and then Rosen. That was also the Lamar draft, who went in the back end of the first round, the very last pick of the first round.
Yeah.
He went 32nd overall.
And
they gave up on him after 1 year.
It was like, we know what he is. We've seen it. We're done. We're going Kyler Murray.
And time ended up proving them correct, because no matter where he went, he never ended up having an NFL career.
Yeah.
And Kyler was fine. I mean, you know.
Kyler got him to the playoffs.
Kyler was better than Josh Rosen. That is 100%. Not even close. He was better than Josh Rosen.
So I'm going to go through the laundry list of number one picks.
Ooh, okay.
And I think I've come to the conclusion, if you're trading your number one overall pick after just two seasons, you are telling me out loud.
Right. We blew it.
We absolutely should have taken Castle.
Oopsies. Yep.
Castle was the guy of that draft.
You think? That would be nice to have right now.
I mean, Klingon's a pretty good second, option of the draft picks in the top 10, but Castle's definitely number one.
I'm going to pull up because I have not, in a shocking development, watched a lot of Atlanta Hawks basketball over the last 2 years.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah, what do you got?
Whenever we do our picks, I might be picking the Hawks.
I want to see that.
You like that? Might be your pick.
I want to see that win total. Yeah. That might be
54.5.
Oh, I could pull it up again. Now this is before the trade.
Kind of high, isn't it?
That's
a
high.
Little
high.
That's a little. That's high. A little
right,
steep.
52.5.
Lower it down.
I'll go down to
just a hair. Because we did that last week with the Blazers. I have there on. I just got to go find the tweet for it. He averaged in his 2 years 12.6 as a rookie, 9.6 in year two. He started 73 games in year one and 46 in year two. They just sat his ass down. That's pretty bad. Their over-under, hold on, let me scroll and find it. My over-unders from last week, because the Blazers were what, 42.5? Here are the Atlanta Hawks. They are.
Yeah, if the Blazers are 42.5 in the
West. I
thought
they were 43.5.
43.5 in the West. Dude.
So what would the Hawks have to be in at 50? Right?
There's somewhere. Only two teams in or three teams in the East that have a 50 win total, and they're not one of them.
Hammering the Hawks over.
Yeah, if it's below 50, I might reach to the wallet.
According now, this was from Vegas as of last week. So this is before the trade. Nothing's been finalized yet, but as of last week, they were lower than Portland. 42.5. 42.5 for the and a half for the Atlanta Hawks.
All right, so I'm gonna look. This is since 1990.
Since 1990.
I rattle off names.
Yes.
And I want you to tell me, yay or nay, it's a very quick answer, worse or better than Zachary Risacher. Okay? Because I think I found another one yesterday that I want to throw at you that I think flies under the radar of bad number one overall picks.
Ooh, I like it.
So Derek Coleman.
Yep.
Better,
yeah.
Larry Johnson.
Better.
Shaq. Yeah. Weber.
Yeah.
Glenn Robinson.
Yep.
Here's an interesting one. Joe Smith.
Joe Smith's better.
He's better.
Three seasons with Golden State before he was moved on. So he only had one more year than Zachary Risacher.
He did before the original give up.
Iverson Duncan. Another one. Oluwakandi.
I would take Oluwakandi over him. I mean, there's still some runway here for Risacher. He's only 2 years in. I know what the full picture looks like. I would take Oluwakandi, and it's a cooler name.
Kwame Brown.
Now we're splitting hairs a little bit.
Okay.
Now we're splitting hairs. First toss-up.
Bargnani. He wasn't a number one pick, but he was a better player. Wasn't a great pick, but he was a better player.
Yeah.
After that, dude, Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, that's the only other one.
Fultz.
Markel Fultz, yeah.
Having a guy not be very good in what people would say was a bad draft versus drafting a guy that played on an utterly crappy basketball team in college.
He did.
That nobody watched him play.
Yeah, right.
No kidding.
And he comes in and they're like, this is the real deal. And they're like, are you sure? And they're like, yeah.
And then he had a mental
hang-up. And then I
had
the yips.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it hasn't gotten much better for him, has it? I mean, he's been passable
in
Orlando.
Barely
but
in the league.
Yeah, he's hardly even hanging on.
I was
going
to say, is he still
league? I don't know.
He is technically still in the league.
He's on a roster.
Well, actually, I don't know if he was. He appeared in five games last year for
Raptors?
Yes, correct you are. Yeah. The five games for the Toronto Raptors last year.
I think Bill Simmons once had a thing on him where he said people in Boston, because Boston, that was the Tatum draft.
Yes, it was.
And Boston traded down so Philly could take him. And he said Boston was out on him because in his interview pre-draft, he was really discouraged that they didn't have a Chick-fil-A, like to the point where he brought it up like four different random times.
What am I going
to
do without a Chick-fil-A, man?
I think that's what it was. I think there was like a no Chick-fil-A.
It was some sort of fast food.
We asked you about how you feel about pick and roll.
How do you feel about it? How do you feel about getting trapped coming off of a screen? I mean, that's a good question, but the...
Besides, we chowder here. Yeah. We don't eat chicken.
The follow-up question is, where's your Chick-fil-A, man? How am I supposed to do this without Chick-fil-A?
Okay, so of the four, you go Joe Smith, Zachary Risacher, Markel Fultz,
Anthony Bennett.
No, Bennett's far and away the worst.
Bennett's one.
Ever. It's not even
we're
close.
We're trying to slot number two.
Oluwakandi. Or would you go Kwame Brown?
I would go Kwame Brown. Who had a better career, Kwame Brown or Michael Oluwakandi?
No.
Oluwakandi.
Are we starting a radio show with that poll
I think
question?
We are starting a poll question. Yeah, that has to be the start of the show.
Who would you blindly say without looking at the stats?
I would say Oluwakandi.
Oluwakandi's career was...
I think it was Kwame.
No, I think it was Oluwakandi.
Have the full picture of both, right?
Yeah, they're done.
They're both done.
They're both done.
Michael Oluwakandi, 9 years total in the league.
Nine seasons, pretty
Kwame
good.
Kwame Brown, 12. Now, do you want career averages? Yeah. Is that how we judge this?
Yeah, just because were on a roster for 3 years longer.
Kwame was Kobe's bitch there for a while.
He was. Career averages for Kwame Brown, 8.3 points per game. No, sorry, this is Olowokandi. 8.3 points per game, seven rebounds.
Seven rebounds.
How many blocks?
Let me see. Blocks?
Your center's
1.4 for the career. Kwame Brown, you ready for this?
Yeah.
6.6 points per game. 5.5 boards and 0.6 blocks.
Yeah. Although three more seasons. Way better.
But three more seasons is stretched out to how many years of him not playing?
Well, how many total games, though? He was on a roster. What did he actually play?
Kwame Brown, 607 total games. Michael Olowokandi, 500.
Yeah, so he's 100 extra games to be irrelevant and bring his averages down.
Olowokandi had 2 years averaging double digits in scoring. Kwame Brown, 1 year averaging double digits in scoring.
Yeah, give me the candy man.
I think I'm taking the candy man.
The pride of the Pacific Stockton.
Can we put an option on the poll that just says they both suck, I refuse to vote?
I don't want to vote for either of these guys because they're both terrible. I will stand up a little bit for Joe Smith. Joe Smith, I mean, he played forever, but the numbers on the career are better than a lot of these guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He ended up being in the league for 16 years.
I was more looking at how quickly a team got rid of somebody. On the number one pick.
Because his numbers, do you remember that trade or who they traded him for?
The Golden State Minnesota trade?
Yeah, because his numbers were actually coming out of the gate.
He was a great role guy for Minnesota.
He was third in rookie of the year voting his rookie year, averaged almost 19 a game in year two. And then 15 in year three, 17 with Golden State before they traded him.
His problem was he was a tweener. He was, what was he, like 6'7", 6'8", trying to play power forward.
Well, you got to remember, too, about Joe Smith, the potential of him in Minnesota was so intriguing. They lost 5 picks.
They did.
Because of the talked about contract that they weren't supposed to be talking about.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Remember?
That's right.
By the way. Aspiration line two. It's very similar. Of like,
yeah, we're trying to cook the books a little bit here,
we're cooking and some stuff up here.
Got a deal in place for you. Come on, man. Let me help you out a little bit.
Yeah,
that was wild to see Reese's shares traded that quickly.
I know that's a very random, off the beaten path. Sports
No. That trade caught my eye. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, because you read it and then you don't realize he's not in the picture when you look at like it's just a picture
it's
of Lou Dort getting traded,
which
is notable. And then you follow along and you're like, wait a minute, is that
Ryan Nembhard's more interesting?
At least locally, for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Ryan Nembhard's more interesting than Zachary Reese?
I think locally, yes.
Locally?
He said, come on.
How many people positively knew he was a Gonzaga Bulldog?
I think more people knew of him than they knew of Zachary Reese.
The number one pick in a draft?
That was one of the worst drafts in the history of the NBA.
Ryan Nembhard is a two-way player.
Is he?
He's
not
even a solidified...
Are we sure? Let's look at the numbers!
Yes, please look it up. He was a two-way player last year. He's 5'10".
Gonzaga legend, Ryan Nembhard, okay? Show some respect, would you?
Stop.
Show some respect.
Gonzaga's been far too good of a program to call
Ryan
Nembhard.
60 games last year, averaged 6.6 points per game. It's a nice little piece right there.
On a two-way deal.
Well, you can't play that many games and be on a two-way deal.
Thank you. They had to pick
up
the contract.
Read the story. They said Ryan Nembhard was a two-way player
last
year.
Well, he started as a two-way.
And he's 5'11", according to Basketball Reference.
That means definitely 5'10".
Thank you very much. Give the guy an extra inch, would you?
What's a more interesting poll question? Olowokandi or Kwame Brown, or asking if Ryan Nembhard is a Gonzaga legend? Come on. Text your boy right now. He's a Gonzaga fan, and say, is Ryan Nembhard a Gonzaga legend?
I think he'll want anybody from a few years ago when they were a little more relevant.
I just... Calling him a Gonzaga legend's doing a bit of lifting there, isn't it?
And I'm going to go look up his college stats. Do I need to look up Ryan Nembhard's college stats? Huh? Do I need to look that up?
They were solid. They were not over the top.
They were not incredible. They weren't either. But it also just sums up how bad Reese Hoshea is that's even the conversation we're having. That after 2 years, like, nah. I also, like, we have had a tendency in Portland over the years to cling a little bit to guys. And some would maybe argue we're doing that with two guards we drafted in the top 10, not willing to move on from them. And there's just there is a massive level of respect when I see an organization like, you know what, we're going to take this one on the chin. People will kill us for trading the number one overall pick 2 years in. It's clearly not the right pick.
They didn't even want to play him
last year. So what are we doing here? Why are we pretending as if this is going to be a thing? It's not going to be a thing, so let's get something for him.
Is it the same front office crew that drafted him, that traded him, or did they have some turnover?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they pivoted very quickly. They said Lou Dort will be a great asset for us.
Good defensive player. We know what he brings.
By the way, Oklahoma City and all of that trade, brilliant trading.
Oh, yeah.
They got a $17 million trade exception.
Trade exception. They got below the second apron.
They won't pay a $100 million tax break.
They have 400 second-round picks they can help in trades.
And they picked up an option. You know what that means? I know, it's fruit fly season.
Got it,
it's
baby.
Bad in my house right now.
Got it.
That means Atlanta's going to give him some sort of an extension. So they actually got him paid
right.
as a thank you for helping us win a title.
Appreciate your efforts.
They could have
just, they could have just, you know, denied, not exercised the team option.
Well, when they picked it up, people started going,
huh?
Because the tax stuff was approaching it turns out Presti knew what he was doing all along.
And they got something out of him.
Yeah.
That's what they were looking
for. And they still have how many first-round picks in the next 4 years?
They're going to have to sort that out. They got like 3 second-round picks, I think, in that trade yesterday.
Well, they currently have 7 second-round picks.
Crazy. That's so many, man. They have a 2027 first from Denver. That's protected 1 through 5, so probably going to them. 2027 first from the Spurs, protected 1 through 16, so probably going for them. And then the swap rights with the Clippers. They might have three first-round picks next year. Unless the Spurs or the Thunder are drafting either in the top 5 or the top 16, they will have 3 first-round picks next year in the draft.
Yeah, well, happy Monday, everybody. Welcome into the radio program.
Yeah.
Debating number 1 pick history of NBA stuff.
Your weekend went a little bit better than mine. I'm pretty sure I had the Sunday from hell yesterday. I might have the worst Sunday of anybody who's ever Sundayed before.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
I had a pretty bad Sunday.
We only got a couple of minutes here.
Pretty bad Sunday.
Yeah, please share. Lead, I guess. I'm sorry.
Dude, well, first off.
Did you have money on Sam Burns?
No, I did not actually bet. I did lose money on the Open. I had sprinkled all over the place. I did not have Ryan Fox on my big board, unfortunately.
Quick take. I'm done betting Scotty in final rounds.
We're out on Scotty.
Yeah, he only wins when he's in
Boulder.
He can't chase, man. He can't chase. He's Tiger. He's the new Tiger. He's a lead horse, man.
Jesus.
You get him out in front, nobody can catch him. But you get him from behind, he's not running you down on Sunday.
Where did that ball land that he hit with the 3-wood over
there? He didn't want to know. Did you see him tell? He was like, don't find my ball, please. I'd like to drop over here. Stop looking for the ball. Stop looking for the ball. It's like a TIO.
The hole's a little more right than where he just aimed, but whatever.
Dude, it was first off the most like two-year-old day of all time, like just a miserable day with the 2-year-old. Nothing was flying, nothing was working, everything was meltdown city. It just was a disaster all day. Woke up at 6 o'clock too after being up at 3, so there's no sleep on top of it. Then the dog's giving me the look at about 6:50. We're all up, ready to go. Let's go attack our Sunday. Gives me the look like I gotta go take a dump. I always take a peek in the backyard to make sure that nothing's out there and
raccoon,
there's nothing happening. Right, take a peek. All right, nothing out there. Go take a dump, little guy. You'll be all right. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, he's been out there for a while. Usually it's a quick dump and a run back in. He's not a hang outside dog. He likes coming immediately back inside.
You find a critter?
Outside a little too long for my liking. And upon his arrival back into the house, there was the immediate
skunk.
And he got sprayed.
That is the absolute worst.
He got sprayed. And it is 6:57 on a Sunday morning. I'm still in boxers. I haven't even put clothes on yet. And my entire day's over. The entire day's over.
Oh,
and
geez.
Trying to get the smell out of the house. I probably did 12 loads of laundry yesterday.
How many baths did Bubba get?
He got 3 baths.
What do you
and
bathe
it's still,
them with, by the way?
Dude, there's some special skunk stuff.
The wife looked it up, but the brutal part is...
Well, every store is closed at 6:55
a.m. Sure. She found like a homemade cocktail thing of like a Dawn dish soap and a hydrogen peroxide and this and that. And it got the majority of the smell out. But I'm pretty sure the direct hit was right between his eyes on his nose. And you can't,
I know.
It's not easy to wash that because then you're getting stuff in his, I don't want to hose off his face. And so it's like the entire day was, thankfully we have a couch where you can unzip the cushions and wash them. So that had to get done yesterday.
He jumped on the couch.
Dude, he came inside and I'm like, before you realize what's happening.
It takes a minute and then
you're like, wait, what?
And then you touch and you're like, why are you wet?
And then is there a skunk outside or is the skunk inside? Because by that time I'd opened the windows.
The
where is it?
Where'd it go?
So that was my entire Sunday.
He's got a dog mentality.
It was great. And then I saw the bastard this morning leaving. We have millions of them in our neighborhood. And I'm not wondering.
Was he Pepe Le Pew in it?
Is there a weapon that I could purchase just in case I come across one?
You're going to kill it?
That would not wake the neighborhood up?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hit it with a BB gun like 9 times.
You think a BB gun would do it? I don't know if that kills a skunk.
I don't know if it kills it, but like you put nine in it, it's not coming near you.
You need
again.
Like a James Bond silencer is like, what you're looking for.
Like, is there like a soft pellet gun that I could buy with like a silencing release that I could, if I, just in case I see it.
Could I'm you hit it with a taser?
Taser, would that work? And then you got
to
run
quickly.
How close
do you have to get with a taser, though?
I don't
know.
That's the
problem. That's the
danger. But I saw him. I walked out of the house this morning, walking to the truck. He's scurrying in front yards, two houses down. And I'm like, damn it, I want to shoot that thing.
I don't see live skunks very often. I normally just see them dead on the road. Because we don't have that problem. Can I ask you a really dumb question?
Sure.
Do skunks actually spray a liquid out of their butt? Or is it just like a smell?
Yeah.
It's no, it's a liquid.
It's a liquid. Oh. And it sticks. Yeah. It sticks to everything. My entire backyard.
Your house smells right now, doesn't it?
Oh, dude. It's going to be brutal walking in today. Because you kind of get used to it and you're like, I think I'm okay. And that was the other part, was it was hot as balls yesterday.
It was hot yesterday.
And I'm not closing the windows. Windows got to stay open all day. So it just, we're toasting, burning up in the house. It's late in the day. It's 87 degrees. My balls are sweating. Yeah. It's fun.
You know what that means for the show today?
Here we go.
He's going to get feisty and
I'm
gonna spicy.
I'm going to start yelling about something at some point. One of you two jackasses is going to set me off.
Okay.
I'm going to lose
my
mind.
I saw your boy Dak said what you did. We're ready for the Super Bowl.
Hey, come on, Cowboys. There's my Cowboys, baby.
Well, we got a loaded show today. We have two guests.
We do.
We're going to do a weird thing. So I did not piece things together in my mind. I drove back from Tacoma yesterday, so I was like, my brain was all over the place. We're going to join, Bill Conley's actually going to join us in Cafe de Dirt and Sprague today.
Yeah, he's going to be in the cafe. We'll see what he wants for breakfast.
It's nice to have breakfast with a friend. He heard about the new chef.
I want to come try your omelets. What do you got?
We'll do the full rundown in the waiting room with you at 6:45. We'll get to Bill Conley and do a football segment with him. Dirt's going to do a football question. I'm going to counter with a football question. We're going to have our orders up, ready to go with the chef, and Bill Conley's going to join us. We'll talk hodgepodge of things with him at 7:04. And then at 8:27, Chip Alexander, who is a writer in Raleigh, North Carolina, is going to hop on and tell us what it was like to go through the arena district funding with Tom Dundon. Because right now, I don't know if you've read, it doesn't seem to be going swimmingly.
Not a great update last night, Bob.
Not a smooth operation.
So we'll get to that with the Jason Quick article that came out last night at 8 a.m. It is a loaded show. Dirt and Sprague, let's get it going next on 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football conversation with Bill Conley at the top of the hour. Good morning. Hello. Happy Monday, everybody out there. Hope your weekend was great. Sounds like most people's Sundays was a little better than dirt. 6:55 a.m. wake up skunk call from his dog. Somebody, one listener saying they have skunk traps.
Yeah, we know there are. People hear that and they're like, are there skunks in Portland? Are they like, dude, I don't know what it is about our neighborhood. They are all over. All over. We were talking to a neighbor last summer, and there was a guy that lives one block up who put traps up in his backyard, and he literally caught 13 of them.
Where do you put them?
That's a great question. I don't know what
and
he
also,
did.
Is it spray proof? Like, can you lift up a trap without spraying it? I got questions about
that. So once they spray, there's a recharge period. They can't double spray.
They can't just keep spraying.
You can't just
go.
No, once they unload their load, it takes a while to recharge the battery. If that makes sense.
Oh, I think every guy out there.
I think we get it, right?
That makes sense.
You can't just do it rapid fire.
Yeah,
exactly. It just doesn't just keep coming, right? You gotta reload, and then the more of the spray comes. I don't know. I've not tried a skunk trap. I'm terrified of trapping them in the backyard because then they're just gonna spray all over the backyard. It's a problem, though.
You know, normally I'm the guy coming in after a major, and speaking of spraying skunk juice, like usually doing that when it's somebody that wins who I hadn't heard of.
Never heard of Ryan Fox before? I'm not surprised. I was just curious.
I think 98% of the viewers that don't golf regularly or follow
from
the tour
New Zealand, man.
Know who Ryan
He's down
Fox
from
is.
New Zealand.
Well, I've learned about him since, obviously, he won the Open Championship Sam Burns went in with a two-stroke lead, and he ended up losing. He played with Ryan Fox, and he came just short.
Sam Burns has had a lot of chances with 54-hole leads.
He's a bridesmaid right now.
Big tournaments and majors.
Cam Young was exceptional in his final round, but he couldn't. He ended up hitting back-to-back bunkers and then couldn't get out of the bunker for the par, so he bogeyed and finished at 9. I'm not going to do that with this one, and I'll tell you why. One, when I saw Ryan Fox walking, I think it was the 12th hole.
Okay.
I was walking, and my wife was up, and she was, who's this guy? I was like, I don't know. He got a boiler, though.
He's got a bit of a boiler.
She goes, a boiler? And I was like, yeah. It's like when you got a big gut, a noticeable gut. And she goes, oh, she never heard that expression?
Yeah, boiler's a great word.
And then I'm watching him play, and I'm just like marveling at how untraditional PGA Tour player he is, because he just walks up, hits the shot.
Yeah, he's one of the fastest players.
He does not wait.
He does not wait.
This is great. The guy knows where he wants to go. He's got his club. What is he going to examine? It's like, let's just go make it happen.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching this, and I had to coincidentally leave right as he got to 18. Mm. And I'm like, because we were in Tacoma, and I'm like, no. I got to watch this. So I sit in the car. I got it on my YouTube.
Let's see the last hole, right? It'll be a couple minutes.
Perfect drive.
Yep.
I'm like, okay. Now you're starting to like, oh my God. If I birdie, I win. Just kills it. It's 176 shot. He probably hits it 170. I don't know. What was the distance there? 2-3 yards?
About a 6 or 7 foot putt. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it was right there, inside 10 feet.
So he's stuck it right where he needs it. Now you're like, dude, that's a little lengthy of a putt for a walk-off birdie win. But man, if he hits it. Dude, he gets up to the green, grabs his putter. They calculated 22 seconds, according to CBS Sports and The Athletic, between him grabbing the putter and him walking up to his ball to hit it. 22 seconds, boom, drains it, walk-off win. Ryan Fox wins the Open Championship. I can't be mad. He's a Kiwi. Can't be mad. Got a boiler.
Yep.
Can't be mad. Just wants to hit the ball. Stop examining. Stop walking with your legs, but with the hole between your legs to examine, looking at every conceivable angle. Mm-hmm. Just go up there and hit your line. And he did it. So I normally crap on the outcome of these things.
Sure, the no-name guy that wins the major.
I think I can give an exception here because of all the things I've laid out.
Dude, it's a really fun backstory because once you read about him and understand, like, he didn't start playing golf till he was 13. He didn't play in a tournament till he was 18. He didn't get his PGA Tour card, I want to say, till he was like 34. Like, he was just a journeyman on the European Tour. He's winning tournaments in Australia, and it was like, yeah, I guess I'm one of those guys that probably contemplated too many times to count, do I really want to do this for a living? It's not making the earning that I wanted to make, and I'm grinding, and I'm traveling constantly. I got young kids at home. Like, it's a really fun story for that reason, and then you add on top of it what you highlight. And it's one of the things that I've always, like, I remember watching him. He got exemptions long time ago in a major championships, but when he got into kind of playing on the PGA Tour and you see the name a little bit more on a regular basis, there is the idea of like, who is this guy? He's a Kiwi, seems kind of fun. And then you realize how quickly he plays, and I immediately love him for that, because with him playing that fast, it's something that resonates with me as somebody who loves playing golf. There is a, would you guys stop talking to each other while I'm having a conversation? It's the computer. YouTube's fine. That computer sucks. We're okay. All right. You two cut it out over there with your side conversations in my headphones while I'm trying to have a conversation on the air here. Thank you very much.
It's embarrassing.
You guys are talking back and forth. But he plays fast, and I love that. Taking 22 seconds was, like, in the moment Burns misses his putt, and you're like, all right, let's let the moment breathe a little bit. And next thing, they didn't even have time to react to it. He's already standing over his ball, hitting the putt, and he drained it. And to watch him win it and to hit those three shots he hit on 18, it was remarkable, man. Like, it's not the biggest name. It wasn't Scotty. It wasn't Rory. But it came down to the last hole. There were relevant names involved in Cam Young, who won the Players' Championship and has been in the mix a ton. Sam Burns has been one of these guys that's like next in line to win a major. He's been close a lot, but he hasn't done it. So you got decent-sized names. I mean, we were two putts away on 18 from having a three-way playoff. A Burns make and a Fox miss, and you got a three-way playoff in the Open Championship.
How did they do the overtime in the Open Championship?
That's a great question. I can't remember the last time we had one. It's been a minute, so I'd have to go look it up. But he ended up making the putt, and it became a moot point. It was fun, man. He was kind of out of nowhere. And I thought the moment he won the tournament for me wasn't even the last hole. It was on the 15th or 16th. I can't remember what the par 3 was. but he hit a shot where he was up against the lip of one of these open championship bunkers, and there's nothing that he can do. And the day before, Bryson was in a similar spot. Dude, he just stepped up and he hit it backwards and he saved a bogey and he fist pumped when he made it. It was like, that was a big moment. And there was the day earlier, Bryson had a similar bunker shot where he's trying to hit it and he's like on his knees on one foot. And it took him 10 minutes to figure out how to hit a terrible bunker shot, and he ended up making bogey. And Ryan Fox came up. End of a major championship. You're trying to win it. You got screwed with a bad lie in a bunker. And he just says, all right, hit it backwards, make a bogey, move on to the next hole. And that was the moment I'm like, damn, this guy's got it today. And he finished it off on 18.
Swag, let's keep the count. That's one. That's the first time we've pissed him off in the show. I think we're going to get to five today. I think there's a shot. It's a four-hole aggregate stroke play, according to the Google AI for the championship.
Okay, that would have been a fun playoff. That was my only disappointment. Great. I was glad that Fox won it. Well, him having that moment was cool. That was the only bummer for me of like, damn, a three-way playoff would have been awesome.
I can give you the reasons why I'm cool with Ryan Fox winning the Open Championship. There is not a doubt in my mind. The biggest story today is the controversy of penalizing Bryson DeChambeau.
Without a doubt.
And then Rory McIlroy coming out and basically crapping all over him, saying he's a performative SOB.
He's not wrong.
And then, of course, the pro Bryson bros on the internet are going to find the videos of Rory being all angry and throwing a club and batting in the sand trap and just being like, what a hypocrite he is. Like, now you've got, like, that, unfortunately for Ryan Fox, should be about him winning.
Yeah.
I think it's somehow it got morphed into that became kind of one of the biggest takeaways until Ryan Fox drained the birdie putt to walk off win. I went and golfed Saturday morning with my brothers. I saw the penalty stroke thing the day before, and I came in and I was like, I was behind. So I was like, is he playing? I missed if he teed off because the rumor was he wasn't going to play it. I'm like, get out of here.
That's why everybody was livid at him, because they didn't find out their tee times Friday night for Saturday morning until almost midnight.
No, it's just
because he would not commit to playing or not.
It's ridiculous.
He made everybody stay at the course till midnight, and everybody's like, I got to wake up in the morning and play, and I don't know when my tee time
is. Can both things be true that you don't agree with the penalty assess, but also like stop being a whiny bee and just go play? Hey, man, like, if he would have chose to bow out, I would have permanently blocked him on my YouTube. I would have never consumed any Bryson content the rest of my life. Like, what a whiny little bee.
Did you ever see the other report that came out yesterday of what he wanted to do and was shut down?
I did not.
And I could have predicted this for, you could have given me, I would have bet my entire life savings to bet this on Cal Sheet.
This would have been stinking it up if I could find some damn audio.
Let me play this fun game, because I almost texted this. I texted it to another group chat. I almost texted it to you guys of like, mark my words, I guarantee you he's going to do this. Who do you think he tried to call?
Oh, no.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a couple of confirmed reports
that he was threatening to call the president of the United States to get him involved, to call the president of the RNA to get them to overturn the two-stroke penalty, because he does it for red cards. So why not for me in the Open Championship?
How much money do you have to donate to the president to get him to overturn a two-stroke
penalty? They ended up shutting him down. They were like, and he, like, everybody put the kibosh on it.
I gotta be honest, I'm a little surprised you telling me that he actually decided to not follow through to help Bryson.
I think there was enough people around him like, this is not going to impact it at all. Like,
well, the other problem was he was over in it was the RNA. You think they care?
They don't give a rip what the president is going to say. This isn't the FIFA World Cup where we're the host country, you moron. Like, you went and wanted to be a tattletale? Dad, take my two-stroke penalty away.
Yeah.
That is such a little B move.
I'm such an in-between on this.
And I don't care at all what the opinion is. He blatantly cheated.
You thought he blatantly cheated?
Yes. Yeah. We've all been there. We've all done that before. Have we not? Hand up. And when you do it, you know exactly what you're doing. Now, if I do it on a Saturday at Eastmoreland, nobody bats an eye because we're not playing for any money, and I don't want to have a bush in my backswing. But guess what, bud? It's illegal.
What do you mean? I just like to walk to see different views.
I made the comment.
I definitely don't trample bushes.
We were on the air because it was that tee shot that he hit way right. We were on the air making fun of how far right it was, and I made a comment during the break of like, don't be cheating in there, because he's stomping around on stuff.
Stomping all over.
In the middle of a commercial break, and then it comes out.
Can I ask you this, though?
Yes.
Because we need to go. We got a waiting room to get to with Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague today.
Yeah.
My problem is that you're not assessing this stuff as we're going.
The aftermath of the penalty?
I get really, it. And I know it's long been held that's the way
criticism.
It rolls. I remember the Tiger hit the stick. Somebody called, they snitched on him, so they like reassessed that. I don't like...
Nothing will ever top DJ grounding his club in the U.S.
That's
Open.
A good
that
one.
Will be the always yes. the biggest one, but yes, you are correct.
I just don't like... I feel like we are at a point where we need to evolve a little bit with that,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, how about we assess this or tell him, hey, you're stomping too much. This is a two-stroke penalty.
There's a rules official.
Instead of like, dude, he walked off with a birdie on 18. He was playing out of his mind.
He was one shot off the lead.
He was going in with all the momentum, and then like they go back to the cover. I was confused. I was like, is this old coverage? Because it looks like it's sunset.
Right.
And you're finding, and then he's losing his mind at him. And I'm not pro Bryson on a lot of things. That was an area I'm like, to come back after the fact. And be so late of like two-stroke penalty.
It was funny that they
from
made
3
him,
hours ago. It's like what
they made him drive back out to the spot.
I know
too.
They
that
did.
Was the funniest part.
I know
about
they
it.
Did.
And they're all standing in the bushes yelling at each other. It was the most golf moment of all time.
It's ridiculous.
Agree with that takeaway. We should have it in time. Also, they have a rules official with every group,
That's
so
what
he
I'm
should
saying.
Be aware. Also, on the player side, like, hey, is it okay if I go walk around in here to find my balls or something? I like.
Agreed.
How about we open a line of communication there?
Agree.
We also need to start stroking, guys. Like, significantly more. It needs to happen far more often than it does in golf. It just does. Guys cheat all the time. Guys are grounding their clubs when they're not supposed to. Cameras aren't around. Pace of play. Stroke them. That's how you get it figured out. Make this a serious issue.
All right. Well, we have the waiting room to get to coming up. Ryan Fox, congratulations. You've won the Open Championship.
Hello.
I'd love to be known as a Kiwi.
He had to take the claret jug on his flight and load it into the overhead bin last night. And guess who was sitting in the row in front of him, too?
Oh.
Burnsy?
Cam Young.
Oh.
I think Burnsy feels worse than Cam Young.
You think so?
Yeah, Cam Young had a great final round, but it was like he was in fuego. Sam Burns had the lead going
I
into
know.
The final round and played with him.
There was a great video of...
Sam Burns was really good with him, too. Gave
yeah,
him
he was.
Love.
He was. There was a great video of Cam Young on the range, and you could just hear the...
When he hit the birdie. Like, yeah, he saw me. He just turned around.
Put his club back in his bag. Like, damn it.
All right. We got to keep stroking, guys. We'll get to Bill Conley coming up top of the hour. A football segment as the World Cup final was yesterday. A little bit of a snooze fest.
Literally me.
But it came down to the wire for all we talk about with Spain. So we'll talk a little World Cup, a little football with Bill Conley, top of the hour. The waiting room of Cafe de Dirt and Sprague is next on The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt's all hot and spicy today. Wants to start stroking dudes in golf.
I mean, we should take this stuff more seriously. We really should. There's guys that do this all the time. You know who's a big culprit of this, and it always comes out after the fact, is Wyndham Clark.
Yeah.
The people slow-mo his videos all the time, usually not in tall grass, but he'll get his club behind the ball in thicker rough and kind of nestle it down. We all do it. We all know exactly what they're doing.
Sometimes if I can try to do it, I will try to hit it, but I don't actively go in like I'm going to destroy the entire ecosystem here where my ball, like I hit out of a big-ass bush on Saturday at a course I'd never played before.
Yeah, whack it out of
and
it.
And I got it
happens.
Into the fairway. Yeah, and it worked out. But like I was at a weird angle and I was like shortening my grip and I'm like, we're going to do it like a putt with a six iron
I
here.
I was thinking, do you remember we were at my bachelor party trip the day we played Tethro? I can't remember what the scoring format we did was. That course ate us all alive. It was brutal.
That course was so hard.
But we did a scoring format where it was like the foursome and everybody had a couple of holes that they were responsible for. And your score would count. I can't remember specifically.
Yeah.
But I remember on one of my holes, I was playing with my buddy Big Dave, and I overshot a green, and the ball's maybe 6 inches away from some kind of bush-like thing.
And you can't hit near their environment.
No, in
there.
Like the hazard
it's
area.
It's a drop.
It's like rocks, basically. Yeah. But I can't get a swing off of, and I will never forget my buddy going up and just stomping the hell out of the bush. And it was the only thing I thought of when I'm watching Bryson do that. I'm like, yeah, man, I've seen that before. That's cheating.
The bush is going to be okay, actually. It'll come back to life.
It'll regrow, I promise.
We're going to talk with Bill Conley coming up. We got a football segment because Bill Conley loves him some soccer.
Yes, he does.
And he also does a hell of a job covering college football. We got Greg Sankey on our televisions this morning. Boys, I know it's a slow time by most people's estimations.
SEC Media Days.
But SEC Media Days here. You know what else is here this week?
What's here?
Big Ten Media Day.
Is that this week, too?
Next or next week.
I think it's next week.
So we got 4-day extravaganza with SEC Media
NFL
Day.
NFL training camps are starting to open up.
Training camps are opening. I'm just saying. We had a major championship with the World
here
Cup.
Here we go.
Final.
We did that. Here we go.
Yeah. Baseball season be here. Or football season
It
be
is
here.
Almost time.
Yeah.
It is almost here.
My Bravos won a series this weekend.
Look at that.
The Dodgers beat the Yankees in a series.
Yeah. They were
Did you know that? Or
they did. Like, yeah. No.
I feel like I
they almost
you.
Swept.
Baseball season still happening?
He went, yep, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of a big
Well,
one.
Saturday's game got postponed.
I know, you had
and
header.
So they had to play a bullpen game in the second game of the doubleheader yesterday.
How the Giants doing, Seattle?
I'm assuming they lost. I don't know.
I saw their Friday result.
They took 2 out of 3, I believe.
The Giants did?
I highly doubt that.
So. They blanked them on Friday,
7-0.
We
Friday.
Blow, dude. There's no way we won the series.
You won 7-0 Friday.
The only thing I'm interested
you
in
lost
is their
yesterday,
rookie stat lines.
The Mariners finally
if
hit
they lost
some
yesterday,
dingers.
Then they lost the series because they blew the lead on Saturday.
Ah.
Yeah. We suck.
Okay.
We're really following baseball
closely. I'm very excited for football season, if you can't tell. It's almost here.
Ooh, I like it.
Football season is right here. All right, so we're going to do like a mini. Hey, you don't need to pod that up. We're in the waiting room here.
We're out in the lobby.
Sitting in the rest. We're
we haven't
in the lobby.
Sat down yet. We're on the leather couches
you're
out front.
You're holding your little buzzer beeper thing hiding in the parking lot. Is that what you're telling me?
We're going to sit down with
Bill. Because we're so popular now.
We're going to sit down with Bill in the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll make sure the order up as we go will be all right.
Okay.
So let's get to some World Cup-based things here with some audio.
Mm-hmm.
A little preview of Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. And start with, we had a halftime show.
Yeah, we did.
That one person really hated. Take a listen to Wayne Rooney.
I'll be honest, man, was when it finished.
I didn't enjoy it at all.
I like a lot of them artists, but I thought it was crap.
So miserable.
That's it, honestly.
Tell you what else you get on the BBC, honest reviews.
What about the Macarena? Can I get to you?
I just didn't get the goal.
I think it was Bieber that kind of brought you down, wasn't it? I think Bieber was a bit slow for you.
So that's flat.
Wayne Rooney hated Justin Bieber, Madonna, BTS, and Shakira.
Shakira was the only notable one.
Shakira was
the star Shakira of the show.
And that was one of FIFA's, that was actual FIFA World Cup sanctioned song theme thing.
Why
didn't
she do the whole thing?
Yeah, I know.
Why do I have Ted Lasso introducing him was fun. Why do I have Justin Bieber playing a slow acoustic guitar at halftime? That's dumb. Madonna's like 97 years old, held together by 8,000 surgeries, has to pre-record her entire thing and only slowly walk out and do an arm raise like the entire thing was live with 2 fat-ass former players.
I'm with Wayne Rooney. That was
BTS.
Dumb.
What is this? What are we doing?
It's Korean pop.
I'm aware of that now.
It's the world's game. Yes.
I mean, yeah, you got Canada, America, South Korea.
How about just more South America?
And South America.
How about more South America and it all be South America?
You got four, like, representing nations
in
that halftime
show. That's all that I need, okay? That's all that I need.
I did see
Shakira shaking. It was great.
That's always great. Fun story, by the way, side note real quick.
Yeah.
What's the leader name in North Korea? I'm just blanking.
Kim Jong-un?
Kim Jong. I was going to call him Jim.
Jim Bob. That's what his name. What's his name over there? Jim Bob.
Jim Moon. Hips don't lie.
Jim Moon. It's the American version of him. That's his cousin. He lives in Baltimore.
It's like Asian Jim in the office. It's like the white version of him.
What happened to Jim?
Anyways, I read a story that he's actually getting frustrated because BTS is taking over in North Korea.
Oh, and he can't do anything about it?
Like, they're becoming more popular.
People are aware. Oh, he can't block them on the internet.
Feed you to dogs. It's like, uh-oh. So we had the World Cup halftime show. We also had the pre-final match speech. Who would you bust out in New York?
A Scientologist. That's who I would pick.
Tom Cruise.
So as we gather for one final chapter, let us celebrate a tournament that brought the world together. Let us celebrate each other. This is football. This is unity. And This is greatness.
I'm going to celebrate you boys.
Thanks, Tom.
Let's celebrate each other. Thanks, Tom.
Can I ask you guys a question about big sporting events?
Go make another Mission Impossible.
The world stage versus...
Or hang on the edge of an airplane, all right? Do what you're good at.
American championships.
Yeah.
Like, remember the Super Bowl in L.A. when the Rams won it? We had The Rock on the field.
We did.
Finally! It's like, yeah. What?
Can we just start the game?
Exactly. What if we just did the game?
What a novel concept.
I feel like we would, as a country,
like in literally every other game that ever happens. You just, you know,
just
players
go.
Take the field.
Here we go.
National anthem. Kickoff. Halftime. Second half.
Like, what if we just didn't decide to do these big extravaganza things?
You know
like
who actually does it right in terms of on the floor in the game is the Final Four.
All they do
is the anthem, and a lot of times it's a student singer representative from each of the four schools. And a color guard, and they sing the national anthem. They do the intros, and they play.
What did the finals do, though? After the anthem, we had nothing in the finals.
Yeah, basketball doesn't do this as often, which is good. And then you get your
Ashanti
Portland
Fire concert.
Well,
it's tougher for those because it's a whole series. It's not one game like the Super Bowl or the Final Four or the World Cup Final.
Even baseball delved into this. We had Fat Joe and Ice Cube rapping back and forth. Remember
that's
that?
That's right, for the home games of the Yankees
Dodgers. Lean back. What are we? Can we just play baseball? Can we throw a pitch?
Sir, you are 15.
Ice Cube was great, but the problem was it set the precedent now that they felt like they had to have a singer,
Fat
and they
Joe
couldn't
was
match
not
it.
Prepared.
He was not Ice Cube.
The Dodgers and Ice Cube had that planned for a while.
Fat
and
Joe, we need you to come
Yankees
lean back.
Like, we got
to
do ours. And
call you Ozempic Joe. Get out here and rap.
Fat Joe is 57 years old on a mound. Lean back.
Lean back. Lean back. I have arthritis.
Loaded second hour. Let's kick it off with Cafe de Dirt and Sprague with a guest to eat some breakfast. Bill Conley, ESPN, for a football segment. Hour 2 on The Fan.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.